This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, those are your responsibility.
Right.
Why 3.5? Did they cut the show?
No,
of course not. They want to add hours to the show. We fight it. The Jets are playing tonight. So the pregame, Grasa and Bud will have a lot to talk about. So start at 6:30. We'll have the whole deal.
I'll have an announcement about that game shortly.
Really?
Yeah. Is it canceled? Not because of COVID, but just to save everyone
no
the embarrassment?
News. There's no breaking news. Because I'll have an announcement involving that game.
I think he's going to make a pick. Oh. I think he's going to pick this game, Peter.
Oh, well, then the only thing that would make sense is in picking against the Jets. Anything else can't be advised.
Peter, what's on your shirt? It's a good-looking tiger.
I'm glad you said that. It's Tiger.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is a Tiger shirt that I got a year or two ago.
Wow.
Speaking of shirts, I'm glad you addressed the Tiger in the room. Michael, first of all, congratulations. I did not know you were walking the runway at a Cross Colors fashion show tonight. What exactly is going on?
I love this shirt. Feels very summery. Still kind of hot out, so I'm trying to extend the summer, despite the fact that it's the fall.
Now, you're a man who, you're great with descriptors. How would you describe what's going on right now?
Vertical stripes, yellow, black, green,
mm-hmm.
and orange.
Don, how would you
and
describe?
And a yellow collar.
I've got ways to describe it. I'm not sure any of it's on brand.
What is wrong with the shirt? I think it's
There's nothing wrong with it. It just, it, you know, the fashion statement that you're making is not of this decade, not of the last two.
Really?
Yeah, if they made a Weekend at Bernie's 3, that would be the outfit.
That's an interesting. See, I like where you're going with it. I wasn't
you
even thinking
two
about Bernie.
Schmoes. This is a great shirt by the Roosevelts. Very hip, very now.
How much are they paying you, the old Roosevelts?
Really?
Nothing. Nothing.
They need
I like
to
their clothes.
No, you need to be getting a check. This is a lot. Don, every day, it feels like.
Yeah, every day.
You need a full branding deal with them.
All right, let's get right to it.
Shall we?
It took almost 5 hours, but the Yankees beat the Indians 10-9. A wild and wacky game with so many parts of the game that you could dissect and possibly second guess. But the Yankees win, and it was like one of those games where they seemed like they were not going to be denied. They just kept coming back when they fell behind or when the Indians crept closer, they pulled further ahead. And they had a lot of things against them, as did the Indians. You know, in the open at 2:55, we spoke about the ridiculous rain delay. Why they would start a game while it was raining, and then Tanaka's on the mound in a driving rainstorm and getting hit hard in the first inning. And then after Ramirez, it's a double, which gave them a 1-0 lead with one out. They pull the tarp on. So I think there was a 33-minute rain delay.
Right.
So that's right around the time when you decide whether or not it's too long to keep a pitcher out. Came back, got hit a little harder in the first inning, then got out of it. But the time that he spent waiting to come back robbed him of any chance whatsoever of having a lengthy outing. And by that happening, and I don't want to rain on anybody's parade because that's not my way, I think it exposed one of the great deficiencies on this Yankee team, which has not been a deficiency since 1994. The Yankee bullpen has always been a strength. It is not a strength, especially if it has to get more than 9 outs. If it has to get more than 9 outs, you got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. So they tried to get, I believe, yesterday, I guess it was 15 outs with Green, Britton, and Chapman. Britton, couldn't go as long as they wanted him to. He walked two guys, and I had to bring in Loaiza, which tells you right there, everybody, that Adam Ottavino is out of the circle of trust. Now, I heard what Aaron Boone said after the game, and it's the right thing to say. Well, why would you ever rip one of your players or say I've lost confidence in him? He's talking about lanes, and he does bring up good points. A lot of switch hitters. There are four switch hitters in the Indians lineup, so they could all spin around to the left side. But as far as I know, last year, Adam Ottavino was not a matchup right-hander. And in an era where you have to face three batters and the team that you're playing next staggers their lineup and has a very deep bench, you're never going to be able to use Ottavino if you're only going to bring him in to face a righty. And they had an opportunity to do that, by the way, when Sandy Alomar made the unusual move of pinch-hitting Luplow for the hottest player on the team, Naylor.
Well, that worked out.
So that, there were two outs in that inning, Don, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have brought in Ottavino then. He gets Luplow out. He doesn't have to start the next inning because that's the rule. It's got to be three straight in an inning or at the end of an inning. They didn't do it. So they brought in Loaiza, and Luplow gets a big hit to tie the game. And I think that this is going to be an issue because you can't use Britton, Green, and Chapman every day in this upcoming series that starts on Monday because it's 5 days in a row. And I've said this for a long time. I tweeted this out last night. An underrated big injury that the Yankees had this year was Tommy Kahnle. It completely upset the way they do business in that bullpen. And also, right-hander, who if you pinch hit a left-hander, you're playing right into the Yankees' hands because his best pitch is a changeup, which is very effective against lefties. So can the Yankees beat the Rays? Of course they could beat the Rays. But I'm going to be blunt with you. With the bullpen in the shape that it's in now, unless somebody emerges like Loaiza and really becomes a force, or Jonathan Holder gets his act together, or Ottavino somehow has them regain trust in him, how are they going to win 10 more games? I don't know. I don't know how that can be done. Not 10 more, 11 more. How do they do it with this bullpen? This bullpen right now is not what it used to be. And everybody seems to have forgotten because they still have a great closer. But there are other things to consider. Garrett Cole can only pitch one game at a time. So he might pitch 1-5 in the Rays series, and he might give you 7 or 8 innings. Everybody else, it's a crapshoot. I'm sorry, Don, that's a major flaw in this Yankee team right now.
Well, obviously, you feel good about the offense, right? Because it came alive, a ton of runs against a really good pitching staff. But you kind of had confidence, I would think, that this team would eventually hit. But the one thing that always separated the Yankees from everybody else was their bullpen. And the way they treated their starters because of how good the bullpen was, right? We would see them take out a Tanaka that could still give you 20 pitches because they felt that they were better with the mixing and matching because there were no holes in the bullpen. But you saw a little bit last year, and now you saw a lot of it this year. Because you could talk about the injuries all you want when they were 5-15. A lot of those losses, Michael, came with a perfectly healthy, with the exception of Kahnle, bullpen that wasn't getting it done. Where Green was getting hit, and Britton was getting hit, and they were walking guys and causing a lot of problems. And that's not a good thing to be weak at when you're going up against a really good team in the Rays who own you to begin with. So it's great that they won. You should be happy that they won, but they've got to straighten out that bullpen. They have to because, like you said, outside of Cole, who is going to be able to just get you to Chapman? How confident are you that any other pitcher but Cole is going to have you have to get less than 9 outs out of the bullpen?
You can't be confident. You just can't.
No. So, and that means going through 7. Who can do that? Can Hap do that? Can Tanaka do that?
I guess Davey Garcia can.
And but also, Michael, it's not what the Yankees really want to do because they kind of loathe for some of these pitchers to have to face the order a third time.
Right. So this plays against everything that they
do. So you're now, because there were times, Michael, and correct me if I'm wrong, where, hey, Tanaka could have went a couple of more innings, but they didn't want him to face a lineup a third straight time, and they wanted to go to their bullpen. You're not going to have that luxury now, so that means you're going to have to possibly trot out a starter to face a guy for a third time.
I truly felt, now both of you fell asleep, and I understand, that as the game was unfolding, the way it was unfolding, that if the Indians had won last night, the Yankees would have lost tonight. Because how would you have pieced it together unless Jay Happ gave you seven innings? Aaron Boone managed last night's game, and I'm not saying he's wrong, as if it was a seventh game of series, like he had to win that game. Because Zach Plesac's pretty good. So I thought they were going to lose game three if there was a game three, the way game two played out. But it doesn't, and I think baseball gets exactly what it wants. Think about it. Two teams that hate each other.
Yeah.
They're going to downplay it all they want. They hate each other. There's no love lost whatsoever, so there's going to be a crackling energy to the game. Yankees catch a break. It's not in Tropicana Field. It's going to be in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And Boone already started like a cute little war of words. He goes, well, we're the underdogs. You know, they're the great number one seed. And then when they clinched in the regular season, remember, Kevin Cash got angry when Chapman went up and in on Broussard. At Brasso, and then he said, you know, I got a stable of guys who throw 98. All of a sudden, they had shirts that said the 98ers.
Right.
So they started to poke the bear. This is a great series for baseball. I believe this one's going to be on TBS. Brian Anderson and
yes.
Ron Darling will announce it. And I think it's going to be fun. And we're not going to make predictions yet because we have until Monday, but we'll see. But the Yankees did announce today, of course, Gerrit Cole's going to start game one, and Higashioka's going to start behind the plate with Gerrit Cole on the mound. After that, it's probably going to be Tanaka, and then I guess they'll break it down game by game.
And I'm not in love with this whole bracket thing. Everybody's got NCAA envy, right? The NHL did it. Now baseball did it with the bracket, so they can have a bracket challenge on their website. Rays Yankees should be a league championship series game. Right?
Well, I think that what you said is right. The number one seed should play the highest remaining seed.
Right.
They should play the Astros.
That's the way it should work out. So if the Astros... Because I guess if the White Sox win, right? Because it would be the Astros would play the White Sox, obviously,
right?
But the Rays should play the team that is the worst of the ones left going into the second round. That's
which
not
would
be the
Astros since they're the 8th seed,
and that's unfair.
Oh no, they're not. They're not the 8th seed. Toronto was.
Toronto was the 8th seed,
and the Yankees were the 7th seed. So they are. No, the Yankees were the 5th seed.
Yeah.
So who was the 7th seed? That'd be Chicago?
Guess it would have to be because the Twins won the division, right? And the Indians
right,
finished
and the Indians
second.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the way it should be.
But right.
And the Yankees should play the Astros, which would give Major League Baseball a great drama, too.
So that's the only thing missing is that this isn't going to be a seven-game series, and it's not because the records may not show it, but this would be a very attractive league championship series. But still, you know, that's the Rays' problem. You know, I think it's going to be fun, and the Yankees got to get by this Rays team that was really a thorn in their side all season long. And
now,
I think you kind of knew going into the playoffs, right, Michael, that this was the team you were going to have to get through at some point.
Yep.
The Rays and the Yankees were going to have to meet.
Peter mentioned on Twitter during the game to our 73-year-old catcher who called in yesterday, big mistake playing Stanton. Big home run by Stanton. After the Yankees were down 4-0, it's a home run. That wasn't one of those tack-on home runs. That was good. That got the Yankees back in the game. And then Gary Sanchez shouldn't be playing.
He
hits a home run. And you could say, well, that was windblown. Yeah, it was windblown. But I'll tell you what, it'd be 8 rows deep at Yankee Stadium without the wind.
Wait, so people want to not count home runs if there's wind as a factor? Now
I guess.
Don't get credit for that. And didn't he hit a sack late?
Oh, yeah.
So it sounds like Gary did his job yesterday.
He wasn't great in the 9th inning catching, I'll tell you that. The third strike, you guys didn't see. The final out of the game, or what should have been the final out of the game, pinch hitter Mercado strikes out. And the ball just hits his glove and goes to the backstop. So Mercado goes to first base. So it should have been the third out, the final out of the game. And then Hedges pinch hits, and he ends up striking out against Chapman. So Chapman ended up getting 6 outs. Got a strikeout and a double play. And by the way, if you haven't seen the double play, get to a YouTube channel or Twitter or whatever. Gio Urshela is a flat-out star. A flat-out star. He hit the grand slam yesterday that gave him a 5-4 lead. And then in that 8th inning, he turns a double play on Carlos Santana where he makes a diving stop to the glove side. And then from his backside, he throws a strike to second to start an around-the-horn inning-ending double play. Gio Urshela was the star of that series.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. I think they're showing it right now on YES. No, they're showing the home run first, which traveled about 420 feet, like in Albert Bell territory.
Joey,
before he was Albert. Now, another thing that I noticed about these playoffs, they're showing the double play now. Just amazing. What I noticed about these playoffs, and by the way, on the post game yesterday, guys, Buck Showalter said he's always had a man crush on Urshela. He said even when he played for the Indians and couldn't hit, he said he just knows how to play the game. Anyway, you know I'm fully supportive of them giving out awards this year, winning a batting title, winning a home run title, whatever, winning an ERA title. But what does it really mean? Like, Zach Plesac is going to win the Cy Young Award. He didn't face any teams in the East or the West. Most of his action was against teams in the Central in the American League, and then the Interleague was against the other Central.
You're talking about Bieber, right?
Bieber. Who did I say? Plesac? Yes, yeah. Bieber. Thank you, Don. Well, the Minnesota Twins got exposed. The Indians got exposed. Bieber got exposed. The Indian bullpen, which is supposed to be locked down, got completely exposed. And I think that one thing, we could complain all we want about more teams making the playoffs. But I'm going to tell you something. The frauds are going to be, they're going to be on the losing end, even if it's a short series. They're going to be on the losing end. The Toronto Blue Jays had no business making the playoffs, although they beat up the Yankees in Buffalo. That's a team on the come, but it's not ready. It doesn't have nearly the pitching it needs. They got embarrassed. They couldn't even be competitive against Tampa Bay.
Well, look at the Reds.
Look at the Reds.
Reds got swept, didn't score a run. Now, they pitched well because it was a 1-0 game until the eighth inning against the Braves today, and they went 13 innings before they lost a 1-0 game yesterday, but they can't hit. So that's why I said to you with Bieber is that these are the guys that he faced during the course of that of his 10 starts.
Absolutely.
Was 12 starts. Outside of the White Sox, there wasn't a lot of offense that he had to worry about. That's the thing. It's not even the 60-game schedule, Michael. It's the fact that you only played a certain amount of teams. So that's why I told you yesterday the individual awards, I'm sorry, they don't mean anything to me because that's not the true test of those awards. And listen, this is coming from somebody that might see DeGrom win a third straight Cy Young. You can't measure that Cy Young this year to the previous two. He had at one point, he had four straight starts against the Marlins.
Right. Yeah, it's a different season. I mean, they'll give out the awards, but I do want to point out that, you know, the American League Central is not what we thought it was. And the teams that shouldn't be there are being weeded out.
And the only team that looks like they'll make it to the divisional round that probably don't belong because of their record is Houston. But Houston's got a pedigree that maybe over 162 games they would have been better.
There's the key. That's a team that over 162 games they'd get healthy and they probably would be good enough.
So I would think all the teams that lost in the first round, with the exception of Minnesota, probably does not make the playoffs under 162-game schedule. And by the way, Minnesota losing is no surprise. 18 straight playoff losses, Michael. Unreal. I'm sure you saw it.
It's amazing.
It is a record by two. It snapped the tie, the two losses this year, with the mid-70s Chicago Blackhawks. And that's one thing in hockey and basketball, because you could be like a low seed a couple of years in a row and get swept. Minnesota's been a good team, winning divisions.
It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense.
Well, just that by accident,
you're going to run into a win. So I think the last time they won a game was against the Yankees in 2004.
Right.
And if the Yankees had their druthers, they'd rather that the Twins had beaten them in that rather than they go and lose to the Red Sox.
Probably. So I think you're getting rid of a lot of the questionable teams. And I think once we get to the divisional round, these are the teams that I think you would have seen playing in the divisional round had there been a full season.
All right, we're going to take all of your questions on the Yankees. Obviously, a lot of people are excited moving on to the next round. NBA Finals, Peter, I think you'd agree, they're essentially over.
Well,
Adebayo is hurt. Yeah. Goran Dragic is hurt. Jimmy Butler turned his ankle. He'll probably play. I wasn't watching the basketball game. And I looked up, they had the bottom line. I think that Miami was up 23-12. I said, wow.
Yeah.
And I looked up again, they were losing by 20 points in an eye blink. So I don't know if they could stay with the team without those guys at 100%.
I don't think they can. And I thought everyone was jumping the gun initially and saying, like, oh, the series is over. But then when you find out that Dragic and Adebayo are legitimately in trouble, I don't see how they have a chance. Yeah. It's kind of a bummer because the bubble's been super fun and intense. And it appeared good for about 6-7 minutes. And then I think all said and done, the Lakers went on a 70-30 run.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's just insane.
I checked in the fourth quarter, and before they showed the score, the graphic, they showed the graphic that the Heat were in the midst of a 10-0 run to get it to 20. that imagine going on a 10-0 run, and it's still not competitive.
Now, I'm not going to give somebody any more publicity than he needs and probably deserves, but there's a major league troller out there that has a show that has hated LeBron for years. And yesterday he tweeted after the game, he said, well, LeBron's going to get an easy championship, no travel, no road game. Yeah, why don't you stay quarantined for 4 months? See how easy it is.
I got to tell you, I wish you just exposed people, Michael, because anybody that has that opinion should be called out.
Well, you know who it is.
What is it, Skip?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Skip's a bad guy.
But I brought this up yesterday, Michael, after you left. Damian Cox, who writes up in Toronto, covers hockey. Same thing. Same kind of guy.
I was on when you brought that up.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. I mean, yeah. You know, the Lightning, they didn't have to travel on the road. But think of all the things you had to go through that makes it so impossible. You could hear in LeBron's voice, this is not where he wants to be.
Do you know, Don? I don't know if that guy Damian Cox knows, but the other team didn't have to travel either.
Oh, really? No, it's not just LeBron?
No, it's not
somehow
just LeBron.
Somehow it's like LeBron's constantly cheating the system.
Right, well, like the Heat don't have to travel either.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Swing and a ground ball up the middle. That's going to get through for a base hit. Here comes another run in to score. It's Urshela, and the Yankees have the lead 10-9.
The Yankees win. It was like one of those games where they seemed like they were not going to be denied.
Tonight just had that feeling that these guys weren't going to be denied. They weren't going to lose.
They just kept coming back when they fell behind.
And a swing and a high fly ball left field. That's deep. It is way gone. That is a grand slam. Gio Urshela.
That was one of the best games I ever played in my life.
We're excited in that room. We're excited for the opportunity to continue our quest now in San Diego to try and win a championship.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the Yankees win last night. They'll meet the Tampa Bay Rays, who swept the Toronto Blue Jays. The Astros are waiting to see who the winner of the White Sox and the A's is, and I just turned the game on. It's the bottom of the second inning, and both starting pitchers are out of the game. So, and it's just 1-0 White Sox. So Jason Stark writes, it's the first winner-take-all game in postseason history in which neither starting pitcher made it through the second inning. The old record was 2017 Yankees-Twins wildcard game, Severino a third of an inning, Santana two innings.
But that was ineffectiveness.
Right, so I mean, have you been following this? It's just 1-0, and both starting pitchers are out.
Yeah, I didn't see who started it, whether they were openers, but it's 1-0, the bottom of the second. I mean, how much trouble can you get into? That's odd to me.
Barry, I also don't like how they keep putting up these stats. So Aaron Judge had a home run in the first game, and they said, well, he's had more home runs in so many playoff games, then blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, Mickey Mantle's included. Right? I think right. Mantle had, like, the same amount, but a little more, one more game or something. Mickey Mantle's home runs were in the World Series. Every one of them.
Yep.
Those should be taken out of that equation. I'm sorry. I mean, why are they insulting our intelligence like that?
I think
how many home runs do you think Mickey Mantle would have had if he had four layers of playoffs to get to the World Series?
So, and it's not even enough to go back to 69. 69 was when they first went to the League Championship Series. Because then you'd have to go and fast forward to what was it, 95 when they went to the wild card. Like, you've added all these rounds. Like, no offense to Bernie Williams, but that was always the stat. They pop up. Bernie Williams has hit more postseason home runs than anyone, or more than Mickey Mantle. Give me a break. Wild card round, divisional round. You had league championship series, World Series. You know, and then there was a time where the league championship series was only 5 games, and they expanded it to 7 games. I mean, give me a break.
Jeff Passan explains one of the decisions. White Sox rookie Garrett Crochet, people love him, threw a slider, struck out Chris Davis, looked toward the Chicago dugout. Trainers came out. He's now out of the game.
Okay.
So there's that. I touched on this earlier, and we want to get back to baseball at, you know, a little later in the show. But Kyrie Irving was on a podcast, I think ballslife.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about KD, who's his teammate with the Nets. He said, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where can I be like that blank can make that shot too. I mean, what a broadside swipe at LeBron.
Yeah. It's a
joke. Who else is he talking about? I mean, I don't think Kevin Love could get that insulted, but you're going to say LeBron wouldn't take a big shot? He's hit some big shots in his life. Then a guy named Haley O'Shaughnessy tweeted out, every day Kyrie Irving flips a coin and heads is, quote, create chaos and tails is maintain chaos.
Well, I guess Kyrie can hang his hat on the fact that he hit the clincher for their championship in Cleveland.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good reason, but that's probably what he's doing.
All right, now, how about this shot on Steve Nash, the new Nets head coach? I don't really see us having a head coach. You know what I mean? KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach. Durant added that assistant coach Jacques Vaughn could also appear in the role. It's a collaborative effort. Then he goes, Steve is great and I have a relationship with him that's going to build over time, bro. Steve don't know me from anything he heard or he's heard somewhere else. We've worked out one time in 2014, but it's grown. It's just a respectful relationship from afar. I saw him at the Hall of Fame 2 years ago, gave him a big hug, and now he's head coach. And I think it's also going to change the way we see coaches. He's always stirring it up.
I think we all know what he's talking about because we all felt that when Nash was hired, that this is where the sport is going now, where the players are kind of the coaches and you just need somebody to kind of keep them in line. But the days of bringing in the great X's and O guy, the disciplinarian, that's gone. All the things we know of in coaching in basketball, I don't think is necessary anymore.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't think of a team that needs a real leader coach more than this Nets team.
Can you imagine, Peter, 20 seconds left in the game, the Nets are down by one. Who's calling the play in the huddle?
So you're just telling me Kyrie and KD are going to look at each other and just be like, hey, this is what we're doing?
Yeah.
And we're going to believe that just because KD and Kyrie have been cool, not on the same team, that they're going to get along flawlessly when deciding who gets the big shot?
And you know, when the big three was in Miami, Spoelstra coached them. They had to be coached.
Right.
Well, I think Vogel is coaching the Lakers. He's coaching them.
Michael, you read The Three Ring Circus. I'm halfway through it. Peter, I don't know if you've read it yet.
Not yet.
Right?
No.
It's spectacular. He's so funny, Perlman. He's just a great author. But Del Harris is losing the team. Then Rambis takes over. Rambis is too focused on Kobe. He's ticking everybody else off. So it takes Phil Jackson to come in there to straighten everything out. Like, I think O'Neal wanted to be coached, but most of the guys felt like, I want a coach so they can confirm that I'm the one that should have the ball. Right? And Phil Jackson was able to come over with his rings jingling and jangling to be able to get those guys in line. Who is out there now to do that? Right? So you're in that Rambis land of where he's just going to coddle the stars. There's nothing else to do. You can't draw a play. If you draw a play up, it's going to tick somebody off, and that person is going to bite his tongue. He's going to say something to the media. So you're basically a glorified babysitter now, unless you can come in with the gravitas and the rings to get these guys to follow you.
And so the only gravitas
Riley and Phil Jackson are going to coach again, who is going to do that?
The only gravitas that Nash has is he was a great player. Doesn't mean he can coach.
Right.
No, but they don't want a coach.
Well, they might not want a coach, but they need to be coached.
But you can't coach someone that doesn't want to be coached in this league, because who's going to win the faceoff?
Oh, I get it, but I don't think that team's going to win a championship without a coach.
I think it's a problem. I think it's a major problem. But again, you know, where are you going to go? Like, let's say Nash goes and complains to Marks and says, these guys just aren't listening to me. I'm drawing up plays. They're doing their own thing. Is Marks going to then go to Kyrie and KD and say, listen, you have to listen to the coach? They're going to laugh at him.
I wonder, you got to find
somebody to keep those players happy.
You know, I've had a lot of people text me, and I've seen it about the Mets, too. When Cohen gets the Mets, he's got to empty the bank for Trevor Bauer. Now, Trevor Bauer's a great pitcher, but he never met something controversial that he steered away from, ever.
Right.
He's a walking headline. I think that Kyrie and Durant are the same thing. They cannot edit themselves and decide, you know what, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. There's no such thing as keeping your mouth shut. I wonder if that works in New York. I wonder if it can work in New York. I wonder. I don't know. Maybe it could. The Bronx Zoo worked in New York, but that was a long time ago, and there was no social media.
Well, what could work is that if everybody knows their role, and it sounds like Kyrie will have no problem being the number two to KD. Mm-hmm. What would become a problem is when KD starts to feel it and starts to think he's getting ignored and thinks that he should be sharing it with KD, or then starts to think that he's the man. Then what are you going to do? Right, Peter, if Kyrie's good at being Robin, then there's no issue. But the second he starts to think he's Batman, who is going to stop it from happening?
I just feel like at this point, they both are like the two most talkative players I can recall. I mean, KD, he would show up to the opening of an envelope. I mean, he talks constantly. God bless him. I love him. But that quality in New York to want to do interviews and go on podcasts and chat, and say things that are sometimes on the line. And then it's just a combination, guys. I mean, this could be spectacular and really fun, and it could also be a spectacular disaster.
It could be spectacular and fun, but I don't know if they're going to win. And they have the talent to win, but we'll see. But boy, they don't shut up. Good for them.
And what
that's what social media gives them. Gives them so many portals to just give their opinion.
Where does Caris LeVert fit into this, by the way?
or Spencer Dinwiddie.
Like, these are two really good players who have been here, given to this team. One. I mean, it's not like, they haven't won championships, but they've made this team solid. And Caris LeVert's a budding star himself, and neither of them has a public persona like that.
But if they all know their roles, you're fine. And I guess the good news is for Net fans, Kyrie was praising KD. All right, so it sounds like Kyrie is cool with being the number two. But if they start to lose, and Kyrie thinks that he should get the ball more, that he's the man, then you're not going to have – Nash is not going to be the voice to calm that down. Because Phil Jackson could go into the room and get everybody to go, because he coached all of these great players. He won all these championships. But that's not what they want anymore. First of all, there's hardly any of those guys left anymore. And players don't want that. They want to run the show.
Eloy Jimenez, brilliant young player for the White Sox, hits a double, has to leave the game. And the reason the White Sox took out Mike Fiers, he was ineffective. He left with the bases loaded in the second. So the White Sox pitcher was hurt, and then Fiers was taken out in the second. So that's why we are where we are. And a winner-take-all, top of the third inning, White Sox lead 1-0. Now, the other basketball is the NBA Finals, and it's being reported right now that Dragic and Adebayo doubtful for Game 2. So if they're both out, and then Jimmy Buckets is somewhat compromised with a bad ankle, this could be a sweep.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, because I said yesterday the Lakers would win, but it would be in six. It would be competitive. But if those two guys are out, why not a sweep?
Yeah, I don't see how that. First of all, I don't think they match up that well in the first place. And last night, you know, Miami's been running this zone constantly. And last night, if Anthony Davis can shoot like that from the top of the key, your zone's not going to work. Because if AD can knock down the shot or dish it down low, I just don't think that zone matches up as well as it did with the Celtics, because it gave the Celtics fits. But also, let's just be real. if AD and LeBron are that good, I don't care what your lineup is. You're not winning. You're not winning. They were both brilliant last night. LeBron was, what, one assist from a triple-double?
Yeah, and AD said something that had to make the Lakers feel great. He said, I want to win three championships with this dude here. So there was a lot of thought that he might say, you know what, I'm done.
Oh, well, I think you have to imagine they win it here. It's cool. They're going to celebrate. They're going to be really happy to go home. And then how much are they going to want to win one at the Staples Center? This is like alternate world. They don't get to own L.A. the way they should if they win, when they win.
Yeah, it's awful. It takes a lot out of it. Let's go back to the phones.
Really quick, I don't know if you saw this. Tanya Ganguly, who covers the Lakers.
Love the name.
She tweeted this out. Kofi, one of our listeners, called this to my attention. LeBron was asked about his relationship with AD and what common ground they have. He stops and thinks, then says, "We're not jealous of each other." And kind of, I guess, post Kyrie's comments.
I think that's why it works. I really do. I believe that's why it works and why it will continue to work. Because LeBron's gotten the spotlight already. Now he's giving the spotlight to AD while he collects more rings. T-Mobile called to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB. Let's go to Matt in Middletown. Matt.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good. Feeling good to be a Yankee fan right now. So, Michael, I remember you saying on the post-game show yesterday, the guys that you built the team around, they should stand their ground. You know, you've talked about Aaron Judge, his ceiling, Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton. Gio Urshela was a star last night, as you indicated. He batted 315 last year. He batted nearly 300 this year. What do you think the ceiling is for him?
I think this is the player he is. I mean, most people, I could see you're an optimist, Matt, because most people say, is this for real? I think it is for real now. So if he just stays at this level, I mean, what a valuable piece for the Yankees. He's a star. He's an absolute star. Hits for power, hits for average, is a plus-plus defender. What a star. I mean, what a pickup by Brian Cashman. For nothing, for money. I think they got him for $50,000 from the Blue Jays. Talk about a heist. Let's go to Spike in New Jersey. Spike.
Fellas, good to talk to you. I got to tell you, I have one baseball and one basketball, real quick. This young fella at third base, I'm throwing you back in your memory bank, guys. Cletus Boyer. Remember him, Michael?
I don't remember him playing. Obviously, I've seen tape of him, and he was a great third baseman. But you know, I say he's the best Yankee defensive third baseman since Nettles.
Yeah, well, Boyer did that exact same play twice in one game, throwing on his keister with his arm. And this kid has soft hands. I'll tell you, I was telling Andrew that whoever scouted this, and we know Andrew Haar's a good kid and had the rookie of the year. I don't know how many teams missed on this so-called utility kid, but he came up and he golfed that thing and looked like a two-iron off the tee. And
you know how many teams missed on him? Everyone. He was
that's
up
right.
He could have picked him up on waivers. Everyone missed on him, including the Yankees, because when Andujar got hurt, Spike, they couldn't bring this kid up right away because he wasn't even on the 40-man roster. So they had a maneuver to get him. So everybody missed, including the Yankees.
Yeah, my father used to say, every once in a lifetime, you find a gold watch in the poop house to clean it up. But I guess they got him, and he's very composed, and he goes to right field beautifully, and he looks like a good guy. And here's the thing that bothered me about last night's game, and thanks for the time, as always. Such a pleasure to talk to my friends. Here's what bothered me. How they had the unmitigated goal to put Tanaka out, and it looked like the beginning of a Godzilla movie. No connection. But the storm, the raging storm there. How do you expect the guy to go out and pitch? They miscalculated that whole thing. Am I wrong?
And you know what? People on Twitter were blaming the Indians. This isn't the Indians. Once it gets to the postseason, Major League Baseball makes this call. Somebody with Major League Baseball drastically dropped the ball. I mean,
I
they really look bad.
In this day and age, I don't know how you do it. Because it was like a joke. People were like showing the radar. Like the average Joe was able to tell you not to start that game.
This is how ridiculous it was, right? So they showed the radar on ESPN. And Charlie's watching the game with me, and he points to all the, you know, the rain. He goes, "This is the rain?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "And this is Cleveland?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Why are they playing?" I said, good question, five-year-old.
By the way, Don, I just kept thinking about yesterday how meteorologist Chris Carlin told us he was watching the Doppler.
Right.
And we were joking with him, but he predicted exactly what would happen, that the rain was going to come back briefly and then go away again. And he was exactly right. If Chris Carlin knew it, I don't understand why they didn't just wait.
See, but you misunderstood. When he said he was watching the Doppler, that's something he calls something on his body. He wasn't even looking at a radar.
I don't know.
Are we left to guess?
Yeah, because I can't articulate it.
Wow.
Let's go to Mark in Dix Hills. Mark?
Good, great show as usual.
Thanks. What's up?
Your show is the worst show that I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
It's hideous. But I got to tell you something. As bad as that looks, Michael, that's how good you look in a shirt and tie. And Don, the same way. Don, when you were dressing about 6 months ago, you were doing some kind of special. You look marvelous.
Oh, but, thank you.
You looked great. I'm not kidding. But here's the trouble with the Yankees. I love the win. I'm a diehard Yankee. I go back even further than that, than the guy that just called. But we got two pitches. We got Cole and Chapman, and that's it. In the upcoming series, if we don't score 25 runs, we're not going to win. We have no pitching.
Well, what do you mean no pitching? Well, what's Garrett Cole? What's Davey Garcia? What's?
Well, I said we got Cole and we got Chapman. Garcia is an unknown. But
you don't. But before yesterday, Mark,
yeah.
Tanaka had the fifth best ERA in postseason history. So he had one bad game, which was impacted because of rain. You think he's a bad pitcher?
I don't think he's a bad pitcher, but he's the type of guy that always has to come back. They said he's a warrior. I don't want a warrior. I want a guy that can pitch. And for a guy to have to dig himself out of a hole all the time, I don't like to go into any big
But Mark, that doesn't quite make sense. He before yesterday, he had an ERA in the postseason of like 1.7. So how is he coming back? He didn't give up runs. He didn't come back. Yesterday, he battled and grinded because he didn't have much, and he got, I think, exhausted from the delay. But how many great pitchers do you expect to have? So you want all automatics. Well, no team can afford five Garrett Coles, and there aren't five Garrett Coles, and no team can afford five Chapmans. The Yankees have Zach Britton, who is a great, great relief pitcher. He'd be a closer on 20 of the 30 teams in baseball. So that's a little much, Mark. Is the Yankee bullpen shorter than it has ever been? Yeah, for a long time. And the Rays, the team that they're playing, they have Snell, they have Glasnow. I get it. But what do they have after that? Can you tell me? Charlie Morton didn't have a real good year, and he has a great postseason record. Didn't have a real good year, and the Yankees usually hit him. Should be a really fun series. It's amazing, though. Everybody's looking at the negative. They won a series. They move on. Let's see what they do in this series. Maybe they move on or they go home. Would you want them to lose this series? So all of your prognostications about Stanton being bad and Sanchez being bad and Gardner shouldn't play, this way then you'd be right? I think that half the fans want that, Don.
Or do they want assurances that they're definitely going to win this series? I'm sorry. I don't think – maybe there would have been a time in the beginning of the year where we felt like they were going to be so good, the only team to really worry about would be the Dodgers. But based on the 60 games they played, they're not the best team in the American League right now. They still could be. But, yeah, I'm sorry, there's going to be things to worry about. I can't give them any assurances beyond that. But you're alive. You're still playing.
And they're playing a team that they lost to 8 out of 10 times. They're going to have to play better. And believe me, they're motivated because they hate that team. And that team hates them.
Yeah.
So you want drama? You want sparks? You want electricity? There you got it. I just got a text from Rick DiPietro.
Okay.
And we went back and forth. And then he said, please don't mention what I wrote because I don't want Don to get angry. So I said, okay. But kind of takes the fun out of it.
But now I know there's something out there that would make me angry. So why don't you just tell me?
That's a great... Why?
No. It's not something that would make you angry. It's about our mutual appreciation society. It just got extended with these two texts, and he knows that that would bother you.
No, it's not going to bother me. I mean, because I know what it is, and Peter knows what it is. So
yeah,
it's not going to change my mind. Go ahead, read it.
No, he said not to, and I respect him.
Then why would you even bring it up?
Because I want you to know there's a secret we're keeping from you.
That's really, again, right. You're a really good guy.
I'm not a 13-year-old, so you know what? I'm going to be able to get by.
All right, good.
Sure
RJ Bell joins us at 4:45. A lot of people are waiting for that. I've gotten some texts. When's Bell coming on?
Really?
Yeah, people love Bell now.
Speaking of Bell, when's Le'Veon coming back?
Well, that's RJ. What the odds are.
He won't know.
It was 3 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks when they...
I thought it was 3 weeks.
I think one more week.
Yeah.
Lawrence Berg writes, I do like Michael's shirt. If I was in a 1975 Huckapoo time warp.
I don't know what Huckapoo is, but
I'm
will
not
say...
I'm not sure what that is.
It looks like the company Cross Colors came back and did an homage to a barbershop quartet. So it's like combining the 90s and the 40s into one shirt.
The guys from the Roosevelts just direct messaged me. We always appreciate you wearing the shirts, even if Peter is jealous.
He also wrote back,
we tried to give him the opportunity. He's just ignored us. We're happy to have someone who listened.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This rating of everybody at the station has gotten a lot of feelings hurt. I just got this from Carlin.
All right.
I heard that I'm number two behind DiPietro. Why don't you take Rick and shove him up your Doppler?
Wow. Bad joke, but still.
Imagine being upset that you're behind Rick DiPietro. So, Don, you were on with DCR today. I bet you Canty didn't care where he was rated. He doesn't care.
He didn't seem to mind.
Yeah.
I still took a shot at him because I'm trying to entertain. But he was trying to defend his guy, Dave, that should be on the list. But Chris was cool. Rick didn't say peep either. He was fine. You were a bad guy for putting us on the spot the way that you did. But for the sake of good radio, I played along. But I stand by my list, and longevity is important, and I haven't known Rick all that long. And quite frankly, when I first met Rick, when he was the goaltender of the Islanders, he ignored me because I was like a media scum.
Wow.
Interesting.
But he's a great guy, and I mean this in all sincerity. We don't have a weak link at the station as far as like good people.
No,
I love everybody at the station. That's why
there are people that are wrong. There's one or two people that are just
not for me. For me.
Tell us soon. Name a name right now.
Yeah. No, I don't need to hurt people.
But I honestly, that's why it stinks that we're stuck here at home because I really miss everybody that we work with. But if I had to rank them, you know, the four that I have there, I've known for a really long time, and I consider very close friends.
One more,
Michael, you miss Brouncher?
No. One more missive from the Roosevelts, the people that make these great shirts. For the record, this is answering Don. We gave everyone the opportunity to get shirts during our run with the show last year, and you're the only one who took us up on it, and we love it. So, Don, you're lying.
I don't see these things because I'm not looking for free money.
Michael,
grab stuff.
Michael's never met something free he didn't like. By the way, I'm getting rid of a lot of
stuff.
For me.
Kettle?
I like getting things for free.
Asked for one thing from you, the little happy face shirt, and you gave them my address, and I haven't received anything.
Well, I'm sorry.
Jerks.
I did the best I could do. I'm giving away some stuff. I have some clothes I have to get rid of. Do you want me to send it directly to your house? Some sweatshirts, some jackets, or some sneakers in there?
Well, I'd have to shrink down like 9 inches from 6'4".
Wow. Okay. You know what? Try to do something nice for someone.
Let's go back to the phone calls.
Shall we?
T-Mobile call to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB. Let's go to Jeremy in East Brunswick. Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm 24. Been listening since I was about 13, and very excited to be on. You guys are awesome.
Wow, that cool. I'll tell you what, that like really makes wow. We've Humble. Helped shape your personality, That's so right. you're probably really messed up, Jeremy.
Yeah, we don't need to get into it.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, buddy.
So that confirmed.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. It may sound counterintuitive, but I actually thought last night's game gave me more confidence than game one of the series. Michael, you talked last week about how this team was lacking that killer instinct. They didn't have anyone who you thought would cut your throat out. And last night was the first really gritty win that this team has had in a while, and the Rays are going to be tough, but I thought last night was very encouraging to see the Yanks pull out a win like that.
No, I like the way you think. Obviously, that's a good take on this, because from 1-9, everybody contributed, and they didn't seem like they wanted to lose. I think they also knew that the way the game was breaking down, they weren't going to win today. I mean, people are going to get upset at me about it, but I think they were going to lose today. If there was a game today, and that one played out and they ended up losing like 9-8. I didn't like their chances today, unless they could really pound Zach Plesac, because their bullpen was going to be just gassed, absolutely gassed. Milton in Brooklyn. Milton.
Hey guys, a pleasure like always. Great job. I just don't understand, like, in this city, how things are just completely 360. You go with the Jets and the Jet fans. I'm a Jet fan. If we just have one quarter of good football, can I just watch a little competitive football? If you're a Knicks fan, oh, my God, can we at least one day win 30 games? If you're a Giant fan, can we make the playoffs? Even the Redskins over here, don't you wish they were 8-8? But when it comes to the Yankees, it's like it's just so hard to be a Yankee fan now, because if they win, as they were supposed to. And then when they win, with two games, 22 runs, they beat up this team, and all I hear is crying. Oh, Sanchez, why did he play? Oh, the pitching and the bullpen. And everybody shut up. Enjoy this team. My God, you see what we have in this city? This team is providing us with a competitive team that could win. You cannot win every year. Enjoy the fact that they're putting out an incredible product, and stop crying. Would you imagine these same callers, if they're real Yankee fans, well, fans of the Mets and all these other teams that don't make the playoffs? I mean, well, it's just mind-boggling.
Well, we say it all the time, Milton. There's never any enjoyment. And you know what's going to happen too, Milton? If they win the championship, it'll be, all right, well, let's see if they can do it again.
But you know what? Milton brings up a great point, though. This is not because I'm the broadcaster of the team. This is the one organization that every single year you're guaranteed that they're going to put a representative product. Are they going to win a championship? No. Obviously, they haven't done it in 11 years. But every year, their fan base goes in thinking they have a chance. Jet fans haven't thought that in 10 years. Giant fans haven't thought that. Knicks fans haven't thought that in 20 years. I mean, again, you should enjoy whatever success you could have.
What other team in sports has played at the level they've played at since 1993?
No one.
No one. The Patriots, that didn't start until the early 2000s. Spurs, all right, they had it for a long time, but it's clearly gone now. Red Wings, they've hit rock bottom after a long run of success. This team was able to hit the reset button in 2016, still be competitive, and then go right back at competing for a championship again. A handful of times missing the playoffs, never finishing under 500. Never having a year where it completely collapsed on them. Never having a year where we're talking about how the ownership stinks, how they've got a clean house. When's my team ever going to win again? Never. But Milton's right. We hear more complaining and more worrying from Yankee fans than actually being happy. Now, maybe that just comes from the fact that we critique it differently because they're expected to win a championship, and things have to get corrected if they're going to win that championship. But you don't play again until Monday. Can there be a day of just exhale and be happy for your team instead of immediately starting to dissect everything that's wrong and worrying about the next series?
Well, I mean, our job is to look at the series and look at what they've done wrong. But the fan base just doesn't ever seem really happy. They should be thrilled. Again, the ultimate goal is to win a championship. And I think I've said this before, and I don't mean it as an insult. It is the Steinbrennerization of a generation, where George Steinbrenner made you think if we didn't win a championship, the season was a failure. Now, Hal's not like that. Now, Hal said every year they want to win a championship, but he has never said it's a failure if we don't. So George Steinbrenner was a very special person who thought like that. And I think that kids growing up, like he bought the team in 73. So you've got 60-year-olds now,
but
that's what they grew up with. True. That's what they were taught to think like that.
I know. I used to think that too, Michael, and I think that's a part of it. But it also just comes with the success that they've had. Like I said, what was the last? Was 92 was the last time they were under 500. And I remember the Yankees being a laughingstock in the early 90s. You know, the Bucky Dent years, the Stump Merrill years, where it looked like they've had no clue. They were an embarrassment. You know how old you have to be to appreciate that time? If you're under the age of 35, you have no recollection of that. All you've known, if you're under the age basically of 40, is this team competing for a championship every single year. So any other franchise can be happy about their success because they remember how bad it was. But you've got, Michael, the majority of our audience who doesn't remember the last time that it was bad. Their bad is just missing the playoffs. They don't know under 500 bad. They don't know embarrassing bad. They don't know a handful of people at stadium bad, threatening to move to New Jersey bad, players not wanting to play for the Yankees bad.
In 1966, I believe, or 65, there was a crowd at Yankee Stadium of 413 people. That's 413 more than have been allowed in the stadium this year. So times have changed. Go look at the year when Don Mattingly had 6 grand slams.
Right.
He hit home runs into an empty upper deck. Go check out Roger Maris' 61st home run. The crowd was all in the lower stands and right. There was not a big crowd at the stadium. So
I think it was officially 27,000. Think about it. Last day of the season, guys trying to break Babe Ruth's record, and the building was half empty. And it probably wasn't an article about it being half empty because it wasn't that big of a surprise.
Right. Well, Red Barber got fired.
Oh, for mentioning it?
Because the Yankees, I guess Yankee brass told them the PIX do not show the crowd. And he insisted that they show the crowd, and they wouldn't. So he said, there's nobody here. It's 400 and, whatever people. So that was the beginning of the end for Red Barber.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
This rating of everybody at the station has gotten a lot of feelings hurt.
I wasn't even in consideration for your top four.
You would have probably been 5. I said, listen, I love Dave, but I got to be honest with you. During the pandemic, I reached out to him. We had a nice conversation. Dave says, Don, I love talking to you. Let me call you back. And that was 3.5 months ago.
I bet you Canty didn't care where he was rated. He doesn't care.
He didn't seem to mind. Yeah. I still took a shot at him because I'm trying to entertain.
Don, when you text me, you know I text you back in less than 5 minutes.
Right.
Stop it. Come on, Don.
You know how quickly I text you back when you text me? I don't know. That's never happened.
Oh,
wow.
Don.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Michael, you miss Brouncher?
No.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Spirited appearance by Don on DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. That's why you should listen to every second of this station. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're like a friend that you just keep on in the house. Just everyone feels good during breakfast, when you're preparing dinner, workout, nap time,
absolutely,
everything.
Absolutely. So the Yankees win in 2 games over the Indians, and now they play the Tampa Bay Rays.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, the Astros are going to play either the White Sox or the A's. I think there's a pretty good chance the Astros win. If the Yankees could win, not only does Major League Baseball get Yankees against the Rays, two teams that hate each other, but then you get the Yankees and the Astros, two teams that despise each other. That's pretty good for ratings, I would say. I would say. Now,
I would think so. The baseball would love that. The ratings haven't. It's tough with the ratings because a lot of these games have been in the afternoon.
And also, they're against each other. That's why I spoke about it yesterday. You're cannibalizing ratings. It's crazy.
I didn't see the rating for last night, but Game 1 Yankees-Indians was about 2.5 million people.
Which they said was in the top 10 of all shows because that was the night of the debate.
Now, the debate actually didn't do as well as they thought.
What'd it do?
I don't know, but I read an article that said that it was up against the debate, but the debate actually didn't do what they expected. I'm sure it did a good number.
What's your pick? I want to know. I'm going to find out.
Pick for what?
Like how many people watched
How many people watched?
75 million.
Don?
Yeah, well, I guess the last one was like 86. So if they said they were disappointed, I'll say 60.
73 million people.
Yeah.
Down 13% from the first Hillary.
Right. That was the 86 million one, I think.
That's well, maybe the it kind of lessened as it went along. I don't know. Anyway, Major League Baseball, if the A's win, also get the A's against the Astros, and they hate each other because Mike Fiers is on the A's, and he's the one that exposed the Astros. Now, Giancarlo Stanton met the media today in Cleveland. Yankees worked out in Cleveland, I believe, and they're flying right now to San Diego. And somebody asked him that the Rays have the 98ers and the squad T-shirts printed. He goes, I don't care about T-shirts. We'll settle it on the field. There is real animosity here. It's not made up. Because here's where it stems from. The Rays look at the Yankees as the neighbor that has everything. And they've got to build their house by hand. And they feel like they're not respected. And they would love to knock off the Yankees. The Yankees look at the Rays and they think, you know what? This team throws up and in too much and we don't like it. And they spanked them 8 out of 10 times this year. And then the whole thing came to a head when Chapman throws up and in at Brasseau. So I think this is going to be crackling with energy, electricity, animosity, everything that you want. 5 straight games, no days off. It's on TBS. I have no idea what the times are yet. I hope they're at night. And we'll see. It should be fun. I really believe it can be fun. And we'll make our picks probably Monday before the game, but this is not going to be a walk for the Yankees. I know everyone can say, well, the Yankees will win. They found themselves in Cleveland. Well, first of all, you know what we found out about Cleveland? They're not as good as we thought they were. You know what we found out about Shane Bieber? Not as great as we thought he was. You know what we thought about the Indians' bullpen? Not as locked down as we thought. And also what we found out about the Yankees, their bullpen is not anywhere close to the bullpen that they've had over the last 10 years, where it went 5 deep. Not 5 years. Last year's bullpen, think about it. Chapman, Britton, Ottavino, Canely, and Green. That's 5 guys. Now you got 3. 3, if you're counting Green. And Green has given up big hits this year. He got nasty stuff, but big hits. Then you got to fill it out with Loaisiga, Holder, Ottavino, who's out of the circle of trust. That puts the Yankees at a disadvantage. It really does, because that's always been an advantage for them. And on this Yankee team, other than Cole, who do you feel confident every single time is going to give you 7 innings? You don't. And the Yankees have managed before in the past. They don't want you to give them 7 innings. So if you're going to get more than 9 outs out of the bullpen, good luck. Cross your fingers and let's see what happens. I think the Yankees come in a much different team than other playoff-bound Yankee teams, because you could always depend, if the starter gave you 5, you were going to be able to get 12 outs out of the bullpen. Now I'm not so sure you could do that, guys, and last night showed you that.
Yeah, it changes everything, because when this Yankee team was great, even the last couple of years, it was get the starter out, we'll mix and match the rest of the way. And you're not going to have the ability to do that because you just can't get that many outs. You always said it, Michael. The problem with that theory is you need a lot of pitchers to be on. If you're going to go get, you know, if you're going to get 15, 12 outs in the postseason, you're going to need 4 or 5 relievers who are all on that given day. Right at this moment, I think the Yankees have more relief pitchers that are off than are on.
Yeah.
And you take Chapman out of the equation, which let's face it, he's not in unless you have a lead late in the game. If you're going to go have to get 12, 15 outs, Michael, you're going to give up some runs.
Well, let's look at what happened yesterday, Don. So Tanaka couldn't get out of the 5th. First 2 runners on. So they bring in Green, boom, 2-run double. Then Green couldn't get out of the 6th. So they bring in Britton, he gets a double play, but he couldn't get out of the 7th. Didn't give up a big hit, couldn't get out of the 7th. Then they bring in Loaisiga, and he gives up a 2-run double to give the Indians a lead again. So it's not good. So then Loaisiga puts the first 2 runners on in the 8th. They bring in Chapman. He gives up an RBI single. Indians get the lead. Now, he ends up getting the final six outs of the game, but do the math there. Every one of the guys you brought in out of the bullpen did not do their job yesterday. Every one. And they were well-rested. They're going to be well-rested again because they don't play again until Monday. That's my biggest concern going into the series. Maybe they pitch at a different level because they're so hyped up about this, but you know what? The Rays are hyped up too. And the Yankees do catch a break because they don't have to play in the house of horrors of Tropicana Field. They play in beautiful Petco Park. We'll see how it plays out. I'm looking forward to the series. It could be great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, you wish it was, you know, deciding who goes to the World Series, but it's still great. We'll see how it resonates. It's not Yankees Red Sox, but I think if you follow baseball, you know that these two teams, as you outlined, do not like each other.
Hey,
and this is kind of a coming out party for this Rays team that's been good for a while. You know, we poo-pooed the 90-plus wins last year, but even though it's a 60-game schedule, I think they proved that they were among, if not the best teams in baseball. And now they've got a chance to prove it on a big stage.
Now, you don't like the bracket. No, because the number one seed should play the lowest ranked seed.
I don't like the NHL going to it. Everybody's got this NCAA envy. Because if you go to the baseball app, they've got a whole thing where you can fill out your bracket. I don't like it. I think the best team should play the worst team that's left. And that would have been, you know, could be the Astros. It would be the Astros because they were a lower seed.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, and then you could have set up this matchup to be a little bit later on in the postseason. But hey, listen, I'm not going to complain. We're not doing a show in Tampa. Let the Rays fans complain about that. But this would have been a little bit more juicier had it been a 7-game series rather than being a 5-game series in the divisional round. Because I think these two teams have been on a collision course pretty much since the season started, right? We knew the Rays were going to be the Yankees' toughest competition. We didn't know the Rays were going to win the division, but we felt that was their only competition. Blue Jays weren't close. Red Sox were going to be one of the worst teams in baseball. So we've been thinking about this matchup basically since they announced baseball was back.
Bases loaded, two outs, and Foster just walks in a run. The game is tied at 3. White Sox and the A's. This is an elimination game, so it's going to get.
This is game 3.
It's going to get tight. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. I used 2 by London, and they were great. Jody's happy with the ring, wears it all the time. Has never taken it off, ever, in all the years.
Really?
So that's a good thing. Yeah, never once. I guess she takes off to take a shower.
Okay.
But I never take my ring off, even to shower.
Never.
Do you?
No, never take it off.
You're a good man. You really are.
Is that how you know?
A lot of people say stuff about you. It's one of the things, Peter.
Wow.
One of the things. Let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line where sports fans get the spotlight. Let's go to Nick in New Jersey. Nick, talk to us, Nick.
Good afternoon, Michael. Hi, fellas.
How are you calling?
Thank you. I am calling to compliment you on that shirt. That shirt is really the most appropriate shirt. It's a celebratory shirt. It's the type of shirt you wear when you're walking on clouds. And after yesterday's game, which was very back and forth, I've seen bastions of industry wear shirts like that.
I think you're mocking him.
Yeah,
okay. I'm not. I'm telling you, my CEO wore a shirt like that when we did $13 billion in one product, and we thought we were going to do 10. And we were
Sinbad also wore it for an HBO special in 94.
Right, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do right now. And also, if you're so about it, you should go to rsvlts.com, roosevelts.com, right, and just buy the shirt.
I don't know. I don't know Roosevelt from the president's.
Oh, I just gave you the address.
I just gave you the buy. That's the information.
My president wore that shirt, and nobody actually. You say, all right, they were kissing his rear end. Well, the executives kiss each other's rear ends. Okay, the reps do, but not the executives. We have to be all on the same plane.
It's very kind of you to compliment the shirt. Listen, the last thing I ever need is affirmation from these two about a shirt that I'm wearing. They're both terrible. Terrible dressers.
That's just not true.
It is true. And I'm going to wear a shirt tomorrow that'll annoy you too. So tune in.
This is not good. He knows it.
What do you mean I know it?
No, you, well, yeah, you know it, but I meant Nick too. Nick knows this is not
Nick
a
knows.
Shirt people would wear.
Mike in Long Island, Mike.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
First, good. How are you?
Really congratulate you guys. Great show. You deserve all the kudos you get. So well done. Want to talk about, you touched it earlier. Yeah, we're spoiled Yankee fans. We are. And the organization kind of set us up for it. They primed this organization for success. We enjoy it. Last night's game was tough. And I got to tell you, probably one of the best games I've seen in a long time. I enjoyed it. Up all night. My friends are all sleeping. No one to talk to. Been waiting all day to talk baseball. But last night's game was enjoyable. And great to have a win today. But it doesn't.
I would love it.
The bullpen, it was the strong suit. You know, Will Canley now with his injury. Green was a sure thing. Went away from his fastball yesterday. Same thing with Loaizaka. Makes me nervous, you know, getting through the starters. I want to talk Gary. You know, I was excited to see Gary in the lineup yesterday. Gary's the guy who can, like Boone said, change the game with one swing. And he did it yesterday. If you look, you know, his launch angle was crazy. That was that launch angle, 99% time ends in and out. Got some help with the wind. Big strikeout, big time sack fly. Still makes me nervous, but I want to see him in the lineup. He can change the game. But this team is not the same team as, you know, we're accustomed to seeing. And with a team like the Rays and what's happened this year and the Astros, I'd love to see it. You got me all excited talking about it. Have a lot of faith in the team, excited about the team, not hating on the team, excited about today, but still nervous. And there's a lot to be nervous about going forward.
You know what? You should be nervous. This is not a slam dunk. You know, the Yankees in the past, when they lost in the postseason, you'd be shocked. Shocked! How could they lose? They've got a great bullpen. They've got enough pitching, great hitting. This is like, I could never say they're the little engine that could, but, you know, if their name wasn't the Yankees, right? If their name was the newspaper guys, the New York newspaper guys, and they didn't have the legacy of the Yankees, and they went into the series, I think they would be decided underdogs. But I think the name Yankees and the odds on a series are set by how a public bets.
Right.
So people get seduced by the New York Yankees. But the New York Yankees have a lot of question marks going into this series. So this is a much more even series than the names would lead you to believe.
Well, why would you have the Yankees favored in this series?
Like, what because would you they're use? The Yankees. That's all. The only reason is they're the Yankees.
That would be like for people who didn't pay attention all year. That would be like,
I'm just saying, like,
just
I'm not saying the Yankees can't win, and we're going to make our predictions because they're not going to play again until Monday. We'll probably do it, I guess, tomorrow or
maybe
before
Monday.
The game on Monday. Is that it's a team that beat the Yankees 8 out of 10 this year. You know, they won the division, and they won 90-plus games last year. And it's a Yankee team that hasn't exactly had a tremendous amount of success in the postseason. So that name, that gravitas, Michael, you got to go back a decade to find it.
It's
so I think you're right.
Too.
I think there's a lot of Yankee fans. And listen, the Rays have no buzz. Let's be honest. I mean, from a national standpoint, there's probably not a lot of buzz. Because
none.
Who are the Rays? Does anybody know any of the Rays?
People
right?
in baseball
they have
know them.
Of course, around baseball, I'm saying. But, you know, for the betting public, yeah, if you're going to lay money down on Vegas, there's probably a lot more Yankee fans. They're going to bet on their team. The baseball fan knows it, but this isn't a Rays team that comes in with a lot of people noticing. That's probably why they acted the way they did with the T-shirts and everything.
And I thought that was ill-advised. Not that the Yankees in this series need any kind of extra motivation, but why give it to them?
No,
why
absolutely.
Give it to them? It
but
doesn't
it
make
comes,
sense.
It comes from a place of this is a, if you've been on the Rays for a while, you're relatively ignored. Right? And they played in front of an empty building this year. They how many people would be there even when they were good? You know, they're probably playing in front of an empty building or a lot of people rooting for the other team. You know, when the Red Sox come to town and the Yankees come to town, they probably put 40,000 people in the building with 30,000 of them rooting for the other team. So now they feel like they got a team and they want people to know it because it's probably getting ignored. And there's not the love the Marlins are getting because the Marlins are shocking the world, right?
Yep.
But the Rays are quiet good.
I don't see how you could have paid attention to this season and think that the Yankees are the favorites. That's basing it on this like weird historical feeling that really has nothing to do with this team in this year.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.